Stone Age Gamer special report. Is that good?
Hi, everybody. Chris here. So, Dan and I decided that we really wanted to do this episode a tad early, and we pulled our business together and recorded this on Friday evening, which was the evening after the Switch event and the whole Treehouse Live segment, because we had an awful lot of feelings on it. Very mixed, and, well, there was no shortage of things to say. And because of that, we didn't realize we were doing it at the time. We recorded ourselves a 2.5 hour podcast. So, I decided to split it in half. So we're going to give you the first half here, and I'm going to have the other one posted right underneath it in case you don't want 2.5 hours of solid me and Dan talking about the Switch event in excruciating detail. Or if you do, just download them both and listen to them both and have a good old time. So, here is the first half. Enjoy.
Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 135 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is worst case scenario Dan Ryan.
Spoilers, man. Spoilers.
We are doing this a bit early because we have a whole lot to say about the Switch event. Before we go any further, I need to cough. Much better. Here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@ngame.com and let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Now, if you've listened to this show before, or have ever met me in my life, you know that I am a tremendous Nintendo fan. You may have also known that I was literally vibrating with excitement for last night's showing. The Switch trailer that came out back in, I think, October knocked my socks off.
It did. Blew up your proverbial skirt.
It did. It just blew it right up there for all the world to see.
It was all in my face. I was trying to walk and shit. Like, ah, why did I wear the lacy shit today? God damn it. All these frills.
This is a bad plan. I was excited. And you know what? I'm not going to say that I'm not still excited. I am confused and conflicted and happy and sad and thrilled and angry and concerned. I am baffled. I am flabbergasted.
I am confounded.
Confounded. That is a very good word for it. You know, there's this YouTube page I kind of enjoy. He's this puppet named Arlo. And
who doesn't enjoy puppets? What, as a better question, what grown man doesn't enjoy puppets?
I can't think of a single one.
I can't think of...
Arlo made a point a while back that you can't predict what Nintendo is going to do.
Nope.
And he's absolutely right. In my wildest nightmares and or dreams, I don't think I could have predicted this event. And there's actually one thing I could have predicted given the correct circumstances, and we're going to get to that in the not too distant future. So what I'm going to do is I've broken down essentially what has happened in the last 24 hours bit by bit, and Dan and I are going to talk about it. So,
and we're going to be here for 6 hours because we made the 5-minute trailer into an hour and 20-minute podcast. This thing was an hour, and then the Nintendo Treehouse was 6 hours. So strap in, folks. I hope you packed an overnight bag and a sandwich.
I'm never sleeping again. I'm tired. I stayed up for this thing, and I got up at 5:30 this morning. I did. Hell, it's me. Come on.
That's a good point.
That can't surprise you.
That's a good point. I didn't even stay up for Wrestle Kingdom. Like, I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it later, and then ended up not watching it till a week later. But, like, I didn't stay up for Wrestle Kingdom, so.
I was so, I don't regret staying up for this because I had so much fun. Before the event, I pulled up the old Nintendo promotional VHS tapes on YouTube and just kind of watched those and old Nintendo commercials. And
so full of hope.
so full of hope, thinking about other old console launches, and I was having so much fun. And then the stream started, and I was just giggling to myself with excitement. And the 60-second countdown was fantastic. Like, I know it was a real simple thing, but, you know, they do that little animation with the Switch logo where it just snaps into place.
Yeah.
And the numbers are counting down with that animation. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It's clever. And then it gets down to zero, and snap, and the presentation begins. And I'm like, all right. Sit up on my couch.
Strap in.
Now, did you watch the presentation, or did you just, like, poke around the internet?
I watched the presentation today. Actually, I just finished it about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. The way it was something, wasn't it?
Man, I got to tell you, if we'll talk about it as it goes on, but man, if they could have found more unenthusiastic translators, I would have been impressed.
Yeah.
Boy, did they not sell a thing. It was like, I don't even know what it was like. There's not even a good analogy to describe.
It was like Ben Stein was translating for them.
They were so uninterested in their product.
Especially Suda.
Yeah.
That one broke my heart. We're going to get to that one.
It was like somebody found the fountain of youth or the secret to life everlasting and was like, so there's some water you can go drink over there. It'll make you live forever. That's pretty cool, I guess. You don't have to. I wanted to snuff it at the end of what just like
it was,
okay, anyway, so we start off.
All right. Kimishima comes out. Mm-hmm. It's the first time he's been on stage being I am president of Nintendo. And it was all right. Not a bad way to start things off.
He looked good in his clothes fit, which is not something I can say about the rest of them.
That is very true. There was some interesting fashion on that stage.
Oh, boy. The controller guy that we'll get to in a minute had a fupa and mom jeans on.
Yeah.
This is not a good look.
Wow.
Just not a good look.
No,
oh,
it really
God,
wasn't.
You look like my aunt. Ugh.
So he comes out, and he's just like, we're going to talk about the price, the launch date, and internet functionality. I'm like, cool, straight to business. Mm-hmm. I like this guy. So first things first, price, $300.
Oh, man. I was joking when we recorded on Wednesday, the episode that went live today, I was joking when I said $400. Mm-hmm. I was expecting, like I think everybody else was expecting it, to be $250.
Mm-hmm.
$250 was an aggressive price. $300 would have been okay, but it's just the system. No pack-in title.
No, nothing. It's the system, two Joy-Cons. I mean, again, we'll get to that in a little bit, but he drops the bomb and it's $300. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Kimishima is, he has said off the bat, they will not sell this system for a loss.
Right.
Okay.
And I replied with, then you will not sell this system.
Yes. $300 is a tough sell, mm-hmm, because you're putting it on a shelf next to a PlayStation 4. It's the same price.
Well,
it comes with
a PlayStation 4 that comes with the bundle right now is the Uncharted Collection, which are three phenomenal games. And then the Xbox One S, which also comes with games. I think there's still a couple different versions floating around. But you're looking at a Switch with no games versus a PS4 Slim with three games and an Xbox One.
And a giant library.
And a giant, phenomenal library. Phenomenal library. And an Xbox One S with a couple games and also a pretty damn good library. I mean, like, we shit on the Xbox One S a little bit, but the multi-platform.
That's because
games,
it's so similar to the PS4, and
right,
if I have to choose one, I'm picking PS4.
Right.
Xbox One is not a bad system.
No.
If PS4 didn't exist, it'd be a great system.
Right, I'd have one if PS4 didn't exist. But also, when we're analyzing the price here, look at what I'm getting for my $300. Maybe I don't have a Blu-ray player yet. Mm-hmm. For my $300 on a PS4 or an Xbox One S, I do. And I know that the Switch is not a disc-based system, but the fucking Wii U didn't even play DVDs. So, you know, like, that's never been Nintendo's... it's never been a focus of theirs, which I think has been a detriment to them this whole time. And mm-hmm. now that's a hard sell at $300.
Not an impossible sell, but a hard
but
sell.
But pretty close. I mean, well, not maybe even not pretty close, but...
No, because I pre-ordered one.
Right. But I mean, you also and said, I'm not... and I just want to be, you know, let's peel the veil back here a little bit. Mm-hmm. You said... after watching this, you thought about just taking your money and putting it towards a PS4. Now, ultimately, you didn't because you're a Nintendo fanboy and you're crazy. But I think somebody not as strong in the Nintendo force as you are, I don't know that they're going with the Switch. I don't know.
The reason for me was actually it was a little bit less than Nintendo fanboyism this time. It was I just looked at it practically. I thought to myself... there are games coming out that I want to play, and those games are, off the top of my head, out of what I've now seen, the games that I want to play more than anything else in the world are Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Trap, Runner 3, Mario, the new Mario Odyssey, and Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one system that all four of those games are coming out on.
That's true.
And so that was the pushback to me. And it should never have gotten to that point with me.
Nope.
It should say Nintendo on it, and I should be here's the dollars.
Right.
But this presentation didn't quite do it for me. And yet it did at the same time. It was very, all right, we're going to keep going here. Mm-hmm. So price was $300. I wasn't crushed at this point. I was like, okay. Not what I wanted, but it is an understandable price. It is a difficult value proposition to sell, but they have every opportunity to sell me on it because if they have a similar lineup of games to the other systems on their shelves, but they can also say, but you can take this with you anywhere, there's your value proposition. Right. That solves that problem. I was not expecting this release date of March 3rd.
Mm-mm.
That was really cool to me. I was like, March 3rd, beginning of the month. That's fantastic. Worldwide, also fantastic. Your projection is that you're going to sell 2 million units in March, and you're releasing the first week of March? That's a pretty conservative number there, guys. Maybe it's because there's not going to be more than 2 million of them out there. I don't know.
That might be the problem, the supply and demand, because... like you said, you pre-ordered one. Mm-hmm. I know pre-orders are sold out everywhere now, but of course they're sold out. Like that, the Wii U pre-order sold out. That's not an indication of how successful something is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply an indication.
Well, I will say that I don't recall Wii U pre-orders selling out.
The first day they went up, they did.
Yeah.
But then more
I don't anticipate like this. The PS4 was impossible to get when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because it was selling like hotcakes again. It was like I was working at a damn Toys R Us when that thing came out, and there were like they'd get two in.
Yeah.
At a Toys R Us, and that was the ridiculousness of the PlayStation 4 thing. So I get overall number shortages on a platform like this.
Absolutely.
I don't get it for the NES Classic Edition, but that's a horse of a different color.
Right.
But yeah, it's
a Wizard of Oz joke.
Why, thank you.
reaching back into the Wayback Machine for that one.
I do my darndest.
Put him up. I'll go toe-to-toe all day on Wizard of Oz quotes, Chris.
You would win. No screwing with you here.
So, yeah, March 3rd. That's crazy, though. Like, March 3rd.
That's pretty close. I'm going to be playing Zelda real soon.
That's not enough time. I don't know if that that's enough time to build the hype.
Not from this. It was enough time to build the hype that they already had going into this event.
Yeah.
But they spent all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that very soon. Online, They talked about the online stuff, how it connects. This is really interesting, and I want to know more about it.
Because he said app.
Yeah, the way this is apparently going to work is that most of the online connectivity stuff, like voice chat and inviting friends and your friends list and everything, is going to be tied to your smart device instead of running through the system.
Which is a weird choice, but I don't know that it's a bad one.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that is very strange. And at first I'm like, what? And the more I thought about it, I'm like, wait a minute. That's actually not a terrible idea.
The thing that concerned me about it, like, instantly, what I thought of was that, you know, when I got home from work today, because I had some extra time at work and was able to play a little Puzzle and Dragons and whatnot, by the time I got home from work, my phone was down to about 20% battery life. Mm-hmm. Now, if I want to play a game online, I have to remember to charge my phone or hope that my phone is charged enough, mm-hmm. because the, you know, our cell phones are great and they're these wonderful devices and they have 5 days of battery life until you start using apps. And then when you have a constantly running app, that fucking battery life starts to tick down real quick. So
it does.
You
but
know, that,
again,
it, that's what I think makes it a weird choice. Not a bad one, but just a little like I have to now worry about an additional device to use my system as opposed to just plugging some headphones into it. It's a little weird.
We think, because this is Nintendo, so I mean, there's a headphone jack on the Switch itself.
Right.
Is that also, like, will you be doing the actual voice chatting through the system, or not through your phone?
Because then how
does
that
setting
work
it up?
With, when I take it out of the dock, like, how does that, like, it didn't answer that question, and I think that's a theme that sort of runs through this a little bit of like, okay, you gave me more information, but you didn't answer like some basic shit.
No, you didn't. And you know what else they didn't really mention on here? He said it's also going to be a paid service. But then if you looked at their website, it says that this it will eventually be a paid service. But this paid service sounds a little bit more like PS Plus, because the paid service includes a free NES or Super NES game once a month. And those games will be enhanced with online play.
Which is cool. But,
that is really cool.
But what they didn't say was whether it was going to be like PS Plus and games with gold, or if it was going to be like Steam's free weekends.
It's like, it's the latter. The games are not yours to keep. They're only there for that month. Then
that
you can either
sucks.
Buy them or they go away.
That sucks.
That
for
does?
A paid service, that sucks. Like,
depending on how much the paid service costs.
Well, but what sucks about it is that if like, and again, you're looking at this value proposition, and mm-hmm. like, sure, the idea of online Punch-Out is really exciting, but Punch-Out doesn't have a versus mode, so that, you know, like, we could take that away. But something like an online Punch-Out, if they could work something like that in, that would be really cool. But with PS Plus and with games with gold, I get games. I get six games. I have PS Plus, so I get six games a month, two for PS4, two for 3, and two for Vita. Mm. And a lot of times those games are crossover. Like this month, I think 5 of the 6 games are playable on PS4. And like one of them was Day of the Tentacle Remastered, which is fucking dope. Like, I'm super excited about that. Now, as long as I pay for PS Plus, those games are mine to keep. I don't.
Yes, they are part of your library as long as you're part of the service.
Yep, I have them forever. I don't have to give them back and rent a title out per month. And what bothers me about the way that Nintendo seems to be approaching this is that, again, we're talking about NES and Super Nintendo games. Fucking let people keep the, like, you're charging money for this.
Mm-hmm.
Let people keep them. And if you could only pick one a month, that's fine. But I'm getting six games that I get to keep for in perpetuity as long as the system is around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus an old game, an NES or Super NES game that does have an added component to it, which is exciting. Like, I think, like, it would be fun if you and I both had a Switch, which spoilers, you and I are not both going to have Switches.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Unless something really changes very soon.
Something really, really interesting happens. Like, I would like to play Contra, you know, with you online. Like, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
But that's something you and I could do with an emulator right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that really bummed me out. Like, I was really bummed out about that. I thought that was pretty shitty to be like, hey, we're going to charge for this, and it's going to be a shell of what you can get other places.
As well, again, this is not something that they have... They haven't explained this yet.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Right.
But, I mean, we're going off of, like, a sentence on their website.
Mm-hmm.
This... We have no idea what this paid service entails, what else the paid service entails, how much it is. I mean, it could be $1 a month.
It's not going to be $1.
It's probably not, no. But, I mean, who knows? Like, honestly.
No, you're right.
And there's too much I don't know about this. This could actually be a good thing because I don't know.
Right.
This is a big fat question mark. I was annoyed that they said they were going to lay this out for us, and they just didn't. They were just like, we're going to have an online mode. It's going to be an app. You figure it out. And I'm like, well, you're less than 3 months out, guys. You're going to have to start answering some questions, okay?
And that what worries me about that is that maybe they don't know yet.
I don't know.
That's a scary proposition.
This whole presentation, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what they know. I don't know what they've got in their pocket. I don't know if they have any pockets. They could have no pants at all.
It's like a wedding dress.
I don't know.
They didn't bring pockets. Thank you, Donna Noble. There you go. A more recent joke in the Wayback Machine, Chris.
I appreciate Wayback Machine. It's similar to a TARDIS.
There you go.
This next one is great. Region free.
That's great. That's awesome.
Fantastic. Good for you. I hope it expands to the... I hope that includes their eShops as well. That would be really, really cool. I don't know that it will,
but that would be
it
best
would be
thing.
Really neat if it did. Yeah, that would be really, really cool. But either way, I mean, it's freaking region free. That's great.
Right.
And it's especially great for, you know, a system that's designed around taking it anywhere. Because if you're somebody who does a lot of international travel...
Like we both do.
As we both do. We're quite the globetrotters, you and
I. We certainly are. It's almost like we're from Harlem. Ah, that wasn't funny.
Boo. All right, next. Takahashi takes the stage to talk system architecture. Explain how the Switch incorporates stuff that they have learned from every one of their systems. This was a neat little part of the presentation. I thought that was kind of cool. They kind of broke down piece by piece how they came to this conclusion of a system, and I thought that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned the battery life, which is, I mean, what do you say about this? It can be anywhere between 2.5 and 6.5 hours. Like, okay, so it's either
so
horrible
it's,
or fantastic.
So it's three. It's 3 hours. Like, just...
It depends on what you're doing. I mean, Breath of the Wild's probably going to be 2.5, but like something like Box Boy will probably be 10. Is that 2.5 at full volume and
brightness
or?
What I really loved about this section of the presentation was that they went through all of their old systems and they were like, and the Game Boy lets you take games outside, and the Super Nintendo lets you like introduce the Y and X buttons and the shoulder triggers, and the GameCube. Mm. Had a handle. Like, that was the big takeaway from that entire console generation was that, hey, this shit had a handle. It's like, that was something the GameCube introduced wireless controllers to the masses. That's the fucking thing you should have talked about.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
The WaveBird was No, it had a handle.
It had a handle. I get that why they said that, because it was illustrating that they'd been thinking about it for so long. But the WaveBird is what you take credit for there.
It's just so funny. Super Nintendo was great. N64 had an analog stick. Game Boy, fucking amazing. We're not going to mention the Virtual Boy. And oh yeah, the GameCube had a handle. Son of a bitch. They should have given me the script first. I'd be like, maybe we talk about the WaveBird here, guys. Or GameCube, Game Boy Advance connectivity. Like, I don't know, fucking interesting features that system had.
Just not the handle.
No, not the handle.
Or, you know, you could mention the handle, bring it up. Just mention the important stuff, too. Just throwing that out there.
Just say it.
It can also play while it's charging and uses that fancy, flashy new USB, which everyone seems to be really, really excited about.
Yeah, USB-C. Ooh.
I don't know why that's... I mean, I'm happy everyone's happy about it. I don't understand what it means. And, you know, there was... I thought there was just USB. I didn't know there was, like, a fancy USB.
Yeah, no,
but,
It's the...
Go team!
It's the non-Mac lightning cable bullshit. Like, oh!
Oh, it's the little thing. Yeah. The little dude. Oh, okay. Well, that is kind of cool.
It's a charging cord.
It's yeah, exactly. But, you know, go
don't
team.
Don't give a shit.
A capacitive multi-touch screen.
Yeah.
Welcome to this millennium, Nintendo.
Welcome to 2007.
Jesus.
When did the iPhone first come out with its capacitive touchscreen?
Resistive touchscreens are insanity in this day and age.
Really
the
is.
Fact that the Wii U had one was intensely bizarre.
Very, very strange.
I'm very happy about that being the case. Like, very, very happy. Then they showed that up to 8 units can link at once locally.
I thought that was cool, but as Tiff and I sat here watching it, like, she brought up the point that that may be something that happens in Japan far more frequently than it is going to happen in America. Because that
kind of died out
with the original Xbox. Like, Xbox LAN parties playing Halo was a big thing. And then we went, oh, wait, fuck, the internet. That's a thing we can do.
Yeah, that is true, but it's also the one of the bigger reasons that that was a thing was because of those kinds of parties died off was because they weren't practical in the least.
No, no.
This is a thing you can put in your pocket and a bunch of friends can get together and just do it without hooking up a bunch of TVs and connecting a bunch of wires.
Yeah, it was one of the things in the presentation where I was like, that seems like a cool feature that I would never take advantage of.
See, now I've done that actually with friends of mine recently. Like, we got Triforce Heroes and a bunch of us got together and three of us got together and played it. Like, I mean, that sounds really fun to me for some. Like, the first thing I thought about was Splatoon because there were a lot of reasons I didn't stick with Splatoon. And it keeps clicking in my head, in the back of my head, like, I was kind of dejected by that point of the presentation.
Right.
So Splatoon 2 isn't like really getting my jeans steaming, but I keep thinking about it like, you know, if Splatoon 2 is doing the things that I think it's going to do, that may actually be the game that I hoped it was in the first place.
Right.
Like, local multiplayer with Splatoon, that's kind of cool.
It could be.
Local multiplayer where like the two people, like LAN party style. Or if it had, we'll talk about Splatoon 2 in a little bit. But either way, the local 8 units at once, that's pretty cool. I like that a lot. At the very least, that would be a really fun way to play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got their own screens. Like, that's great. Then Koizumi comes out. He starts talking about the Joy-Cons. They're neat. There's a lot more in them than I thought there would be.
There really is.
They are really very remarkable pieces of technology. The hidden L and R buttons in the rail.
That's kind of cool.
That's really neat. The NFC reader, I'm not surprised. The capture button, that's what we all thought it was.
Right.
That's great. Shares over social media, which is what they said in the event. They did not mention Miiverse, which we'll get to that a bit later.
Yeah.
But the motion sensing, okay, so that means that backwards compatibility with Wii games is a possibility, like, you know, digital stuff. The IR and distance measuring and gyro, that stuff sounds pretty neat. It also sounds like it's not going to be useful unless it is future-proofing for VR.
Right. It sounds right now, especially with the game that they showed off, and we'll get to that in a minute, I imagine, here, seemed very, very gimmicky. And that was the part of the presentation where when he's showing off these controllers, like, to me, they look perfectly sized for President-elect Trump in his tiny hands. They look way too small for me. Now
they're looking a little small for me, which is why I need that Pro controller.
Right.
But that said, I was watching what some people were doing with them during Treehouse Live today, and I'm like, I don't know. They don't seem to be having a problem with it. And
right. And that's the thing. That seems like the type of thing that I really need to really hold and get a feel for. Just looking at the controller, that is like my thought there was, you know, again, I was watching it with Tiff and I turned to her and I said, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm trying to figure out how I would play certain games this way. You know, and just like
one in each hand doesn't seem so bad, but turning one sideways Wii Remote style seems like it's a little tough.
Because I fucking hated that. I hated doing that with the Wiimote because that was just not very comfortable to hold that way, especially if you had the bumper on it and all that shit.
Yeah, no, the bumper was bad. Now
these certainly
one, however,
look more comfortable than that. But the
especially with the Joy-Con strap that they showed off.
Yeah,
that, those little things that slip on makes it a little bit bigger, makes the L&R buttons a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
And they come for free with the system.
Which is
so
nice.
That is pretty nice.
The placement of the analog stick when they're turned sideways, though, is a little wonky, I think.
On one of them it is.
Yeah.
Because they're in different positions because of where they are when they're strapped together. But,
you're player
one of them,
two. You get the shitty controller.
You get the one that it's, like, kind of towards the middle, which is weird.
Yeah. A little strange.
But, again, I haven't held them, so I don't know. It could. Like, I thought the GameCube controller looked like a friggin' monstrosity. And when I held it, I was like, oh, this actually kind of works. So, really, who knows?
Right. It could be the GameCube controller. It could be the Dreamcast controller.
Exactly. They also announced a couple of colors. There's more to come there.
Oh, that, those colors.
Yeah, you're tuned in. Those are adorable. I'm sure there's going to be hundreds more.
Did you like them? I thought they were really ugly next to each other. I think if there would have been two blues or
decide.
Two reds.
I pre-ordered the gray one. I was like, that's cute. I'm not going anywhere near that.
I think those two colors, that blue and that red, I don't think work together. Like,
you know what? I don't think so either, but there's
they were
like
ugly, right?
There's like, so many folks that are flipping out over it like, oh, that's definitely the one I'm going for. I think that was actually the pre-order that sold out first at GameStop was the colored ones.
That doesn't surprise me because people are nuts for colored consoles. I don't really
they really are.
I don't understand it, but God,
it's weird.
There's a silver GameCube. Yeah, and
I mean even better than that. Like when the GameCube launched, it was like, when I pre-ordered mine, like, do you want the purple one or the black one? I was like, the black one. I don't. Everything I have is black. Yeah. I don't want a giant purple cube under my TV.
Yeah, I don't want this to look like a toy.
But then we get to the HD Rumble, which they themselves said during it was hard to describe.
And they didn't do a great job then of describing it.
Well, I mean, I think they did the glass with the ice and the water being poured in it.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to imagine that. And I'm trying to I can't wrap my head around this feature. And
it seems like more future-proofing for VR. That's
exactly
what that felt like to me.
If VR becomes a thing on this, with the way these Joy-Cons work and this HD Rumble is as impressive as it sounds, that could be really cool.
It
but
could
for
be.
Everything else, I don't see the point of it.
Right.
And
being able to feel the difference, like clinking a glass back and forth and telling how many ice cubes there are. Like, motherfucker, I can't do that shit in real life when I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, I clink it back and forth and I'm like, I don't know how many fucking ice cubes that is. Like, when ice is next to each other, I can't count it.
And I just had this thought just now. What's Suda 51 gonna do with that?
Right.
Because remember
maybe
the friggin'
fun
speaker in No More Heroes?
Yeah.
That was incredible. So I take it back. I am now officially excited for HD Rumble because I want to know what Suda 51's gonna do with it.
It felt like future proofing for VR. You know, for really like in the absence of like true haptic feedback, that would be a stand-in.
But you know what else is weird? That HD Rumble is also in the Pro Controller.
Right. Which then therefore doesn't make any sense to me how that works, but
I am very curious. All right. This is where it got off the rails for me. This is where
when he started waggling his arms about like it was a Wii, because that's where it came off the rails for me. I went, oh, I'm out.
All of the air was sucked out of the room for me. Now, yeah. If you had asked me before this event, what is the absolute, the single worst conceivable thing that Nintendo could show off at this event? What is the most damaging, the most anti-intelligent thing that they could show off to the public that would completely piss away every ounce of goodwill they got from ditching the incredibly toxic Wii name? What would that be? If you had asked me that question, Dan, what do you think I would have said?
1-2 Switch.
I would have said a motion-controlled minigame collection.
That is not a fucking pack-in title. You have
that
to pay for that shit.
That is sold separately. Oh, but
at
it's
full
it's,
price.
It's so much worse than that. It's so much worse. So, yes, that's terrible. God. And this would have been bad at any point in the presentation.
Yeah.
But this was the first game they showed. And remember how they showed it. Now, what's really big in the world of games right now? What is one of the most talked about video games in the world that's coming out this year right now?
Zelda, I think?
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Is one of the most talked about products that's coming out.
Yep.
That is one of the most anticipated games that is coming out soon. And it has been said that that game is not coming to Nintendo Switch.
So now, what did they do?
If you're Nintendo, what are you going to do if you don't have Red Dead Redemption coming to your platform?
Start off with Zelda. Like, I think I'm going to keep coming back to that. Like, that's
I'm okay
your
with them ending with
salvo.
Zelda. I'm okay with them ending with Zelda because we already knew about Zelda.
Then you start off with Mario Odyssey. like at the PlayStation
Mario Odyssey
conference.
Was needed when it showed up.
But like
okay.
Like at the PlayStation conference, when they just did the thing in December, they showed off a brand new, unannounced, fucking Uncharted game. They were just like, here's a 12-minute trailer. Enjoy. But
now,
no,
I actually have a
not what Nintendo did.
I have a very good solution for this, and it's weird, but the fact that they started the 1-2 Switch trailer with a scene that you couldn't immediately tell was live action with a cowboy, the immediate thought was, did they actually get Red Dead 2 on their system? No, wait, is this a new cowboy-related game? This looks interesting. No, it's live action.
Is this Gunsmoke? Have they brought it back?
Brought back Wild Gunmen?
Is this Sunset Riders?
They're looking at each other. They're still looking at each other. They look at one another for more than a minute.
Yeah.
There was more than a minute of solid two asshats dressed up like cowboys staring at each other. And
not saying a word.
Seconds, literally seconds into it, I'm like, oh, I get it. They're going to do a quick draw.
Yeah.
They're going to do a quick draw. They're going to do it anytime now.
Any minute now.
Still looking.
Oh, look,
they're still looking at each other. They're
itching his trigger finger.
And I bet it's going to be the skinny guy because everyone thinks it's going to be the fat guy that wins. Oh, look at that.
Oh,
it's the fat guy won.
The fat guy won.
Look at that. Oh, hey, look. There's like 14,000 other mini games that you relegated 4 seconds to and a minute and a half to the two cowboys doing a shoot-off. I am flabbergasted by this. This is the most insane decision that they could have possibly made. First off, this game exemplifies every single thing that every modern gamer... This is why people left Nintendo. This is why you left Nintendo. Shit like this.
Yes,
this
is
why... This is why everyone was turned off by the Wii. It's why those people didn't buy the Wii U. And by parading this thing out, first and foremost, this is your prime target right here. This is your make or break moment. And you go back to the shit you were pulling on the Wii.
Yep.
I get it.
But worse.
You finally made this work. Neat. I don't even know if it's worse. They barely showed the game.
Well, here's what
they
here's
barely
what made it,
showed what it is.
Here's what made
we don't
it
even
worse
know.
To me. The fact that the producer of the game then came out and in terrible pants, by the way, that were far too short for him.
Yes.
I really you're in fucking public. Dress like an adult. For fuck's sake. And I'm not even saying, like, you have to have a suit on. Like, wear a t-shirt with a fucking character on it or something. But wear some pants that fit. Fuck, that was annoying. Anyway, the producer of the game comes out and he's like, you know, we thought about what if you could have a game where you don't look at the screen? Well, that's not a fucking video game then.
That's just
playing with my friends.
That's
I don't
just
need
a toy.
To spend
that's toy guns.
I don't need to spend $300 to go bang, bang, rat-a-tat, boom, kapow, I got you. I don't fucking need to do that.
Now, upon further thought, and here's the thing that really bothers me about this, is this is, I'm probably going to love this game because I loved Wii Sports. Like, Wii Sports and Wii Party and Nintendo, like, those games were damn good. I had some amazingly good times playing those games.
Sure.
And with all of the tech that they're talking about, with these Joy-Cons being working the way that they do, there is every probability that this is going to be a goddamn blast. But you do not start with that because they sucked. That killed all of their hype. Every
yep.
single person, they set themselves up as a fucking punchline mm-hmm. for every single person, every single shareholder that is looking for an opportunity for this to go sideways. Every single core gamer that has been just kind of looking out of the side of their eye thinking, is Nintendo going to be for me? Nope, never again. Nope. Not buying the system either. This solidified, and I am not exaggerating, I would put fucking money down on it if I had it. This has solidified. This showing this game at this point has solidified that the Switch will not even reach Wii U's numbers.
Nope.
This system is going to be a goddamn failure. There, unless
time.
They turn things around in an unfathomable degree, they just screwed the pooch completely. Because not a single person, not one human being living on this planet that didn't buy a Wii U is going to buy a Switch.
Nope.
The only people that are going to buy the Switch are people that bought the Wii U and decided they liked the Nintendo games enough to keep getting a Nintendo system. They will win not a fucking soul with this system because of this game. This was a bungle. This was a terrible plan. This was a fuck up on every conceivable scale. This was an insulting mistake, and I cannot fucking believe that this exists. I cannot wrap my head around it.
It doesn't make any sense, and it was the point of the presentation where I turned to my wife sitting on the couch and said, well, I guess I'll be playing the HD remaster of Breath of the Wild on my PS4.
Yeah, because
that's what that was. That
I don't
was
see
all
a future.
Of the goodwill. All of the goodwill that they had, it started because, like, when dude was talking about the controller, he was like, you can strap it to your wrist. And I was like, fuck, don't fucking do it. And, oh, look, there's a little table tennis paddle that fucking just popped up over your hand, and now you're flailing your uh-huh. arms. All right, we're done. We're done here.
Yeah,
we're done.
We're done.
I'm
we're
out.
Done. I've
I'm
seen
out.
Enough.
I have had every Nintendo system since the NES. Every single one. Multiple iterations of them. Bought the original NES, then bought the top loader. Bought the original Super Nintendo, then bought the fucking smaller version. Tiff had a Virtual Boy, we're married, it counts. Had a Game Boy, had a Game Boy Color, in a couple different colors because one broke. Had a fucking Game Boy Advance, had a Game Boy Advance SP. Got a different Game Boy Advance SP because they released it with the Nintendo thing. Fucking Tiff had an N64. That counts. So I count as that is me having that. Had a GameCube. Had a Game Boy player. Had a fucking Wii. Had a Wii U. I will not be buying a Switch. They haven't learned. It's not.
No.
Stop.
The motion control thing is done.
Stop.
It is absolutely done. Nobody wants it. And they this was their flagship. This was, and this is what we're starting off with. Remember that shit you could do before? You can still do it now. We may as well just call it a Wii.
They were devastated by this. The IR sensor, it can tell the difference between rock, paper, and scissors. You know what else could fucking tell the difference between rock, paper, and scissors? Me and my friend going, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ah, rock beats scissors. Like, God damn it. God damn
it. Like, sure, that's neat tech, but this isn't what I'm here for. This is not why any of us are here.
No, and again, it
the
may
The goodwill
be,
that they earned from that trailer was that they distanced themselves from this stuff. And like I said, I will probably love this game, and it'll probably be a shitload of fun.
But this
is the wrong product at the wrong time.
It'll be fun when you have a bunch of people together, and it's silly for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not...
This is a pack-in title. This is not something you sell separately.
It's not a system seller.
It's not.
Just not.
This, like, will not be Wii Sports.
No, and Wii Sports was fucking fun, like, twice. And then you're kind of done with it.
I would disagree with that. I played a lot of Wii Sports for years. The bowling in particular.
The bowling was super fun.
The bowling was the one that stuck with us. Everything else went away. Wii Sports Resort had some good stuff in it, and that's where I see the potential of this, but not now. Not now. What Nintendo does not realize is that they are backed into the smallest of corners. They need to do everything everybody else does, plus what they do, a million times better. Is the only way they're crawling out of that hole. Because the gaming community at large looks at Nintendo and they see 1-2 Switch. They don't see any of the other stuff they do. They see 1-2 Switch. That's what Nintendo does.
Yeah.
And looking at this presentation, it is hard not to do that.
1-2 Switch needed to be a surprise Metroid game. I would have pre-ordered.
That would have sold it. 1-2 Switch need, like, I don't mind that they wanted to make that game, but that was a game that they show off at E3 late in the presentation at best.
Yep, and
if
it's a pack-in
need
title.
To do it.
It is a pack-in, like, title at best.
It is not something that you start your conference with. You don't show off your motion sensing technology. Absolutely nobody cares anymore. And after the release of Metroid Prime Federation Force, another game that nobody wanted, you would think that they would have learned their lesson by now you gotta listen at least a little bit to what the public is telling you. And the public is telling you that motion controls are not something they care about.
Nope.
Now, again, having it in there is smart because of the potential future of VR. But
yeah, no, that's great. That's great.
But this was a bad play.
Bad,
so this put
bad
a
move.
Big, fat, hairy stink on the rest of the night for me.
Yeah.
And it also put a very, very nasty stink on the next game, which the next game is ARMS. And I managed to pull a complete 180 on this game when they said one sentence during the presentation of it earlier today.
Right.
ARMS came up next, and the trailer, again, a full minute into the trailer, and I still had no idea what I was looking at. Nothing had happened except for a dude and a schoolgirl were looking at each other. That was all they showed. And then the game is, it's like a fighting game, and you're flailing your arms around like a jackass, and you've got these springy arms, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, shit, that actually looks kind of fun. But, you know, whatever. This is...
To me, here was my first thought, just as my quick description of this. What popped into my head watching the little gameplay trailer was like, huh, it's like if every character in Power Stone was Dhalsim.
I had the Power Stone vibe from that too. But I was very turned off by it because I was like, I don't want a game where I have to flail my arms around. I just don't want it. Like,
well, I got really concerned, like, because they showed, like, oh, you could play this against somebody by, like, taking your Switch out of the dock and putting it down. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to put my $300 system on the table and then have to, like, fucking pretend punch and, like, do curveballs and shit. I'm going to fucking punch my system across the room.
These are all thoughts that I had as well. Like, this.
Like, why the fuck would I do that?
This is a bad idea. I don't get it.
And it looked really hard to control.
It did.
Like, you tilt. The using the motion controls, you turn them sideways, mm-hmm. and you punch with them, and that's how you flail your Dalsim arms across the screen at the other person like a boxing match. But, like, to move, you tilt the controllers left or right, both of them, kind of in a Katamari kind of way.
Yeah.
And to jump, you hit the shoulder buttons and the triggers up on the top. Mm-hmm. But then to throw a punch to the left or the right, you have to punch forward and tilt the controller. So, like, am I going to be moving and, like, punching and turn and, like... It looked like a fucking mess.
It did.
It looked like an absolute mess.
Now, to be fair, at the showing, it did look like a fucking mess. But then when they showed it at Treehouse this morning, I'm looking at it like, these guys are, it seems fairly intuitive. I still don't want to do any of this stuff, but I mean, I guess it makes sense. And then they said the sentence that changed the world. It does not require motion controls. There's standard controller options as well. And I said, whoa. Then I started looking at the game from a whole different light, because the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, man, these stages are really interesting, and the fight mechanics and the picking the different weapons, and like, this looks like it's a pretty deep fighting game. It's a shame that nobody's going to care about it because of the motion controls. And then when it was an offhand sentence, they just said real quick, they didn't harp on it or anything, they said that you can play it with just the Pro Controller. And I just about shit myself. I said, oh, I could play, like, people could play this seriously. And then I started looking at it and paying real close attention, and the Power Stone vibes came right back, and I was like, holy shit, people really could take this seriously. This is why there's a fucking arcade stick for this system. Because they leaked that earlier, like, why is there an arcade stick? Is, like, Marvel vs. Capcom coming? What the hell? Who's making an arcade stick and why? Now I get it. Like, this could actually be a thing. Now, if you take 1-2 Switch completely out of the equation, you go through that whole bullshit about talking about the fact that the Joy-Cons can do all that stuff, you skip over 1-2 Switch entirely, you start with ARMS, a brand new IP with fairly interesting character designs. I didn't like the Spring Man, but I liked everybody else. I thought all the other designs were cool.
Springman's hair was kind of shitty.
Yeah, it was the hair that really put me off on him. But
it looked like toothpaste.
And then you show this off, but you also make abundantly clear that this is also standard button controls. Like, you show it off as something that goes, you can go either way you want with it. Now the air has not been let out of the room. Now I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty cool.
That's not what they did.
They didn't even sniff the idea of you can use a standard controller for arms. It was all like all motion all the time. Flail your arms around like a jackass. The game. We finally got Wii Boxing right. We finally can do it. And I'm like, yeah, I got over the fact that you couldn't do that like 7 years ago, guys. I don't care.
Yeah, I just don't care. And like, I wonder if the 1-2 Switch trailer, just to go back to that real quick, I wonder if the setup of the Western was on purpose of, like, we're going to tease Red Dead Redemption.
No chance.
Or if they just didn't even get it and they were like, we're going to play on, like, when you were a kid and you would go with your friend and be like, bang, and play like you were Cowboys
That's
and
what
Indians.
It is.
Like,
there's no question in my mind. Because they,
but that shows you how out of touch
exactly,
they
are.
They
are
that
so
that that wouldn't even be
out of touch.
A thought
and to think to yeah. even think that that it's in and of itself is incredibly cool. I'm at a loss on the 1-2-3 Switch.
Yeah.
But if they skipped that, they went straight to ARMS and provided it and showed it off in a better light, that could have been the Splatoon moment that they hoped it would be. Because I could tell from the get go that they were hoping and they were talking about ARMS like it was the next Splatoon. And no competitive fighting thing is ever going to take a motion-controlled fighting game seriously.
No.
It would never get into EVO, not in a billion years. But
no, God, not even a little bit.
Something this theoretically
Maybe
complex,
with an arcade stick.
Something this theoretically complex with standard controls, now that's a possibility. If the fighting, if the expanded roster, the rest of the roster in this game is full of really interesting characters and the fighting mechanics are as cool as I think they might be, it may not get into EVO, but this could be something that is tournament worthy.
Could be.
But with motion controls, there is a 0% chance. It will never happen.
Yeah, not even a little bit. All right, so after ARMS,
we got Splatoon 2, which like I said a few minutes ago, I should have been real excited about Splatoon 2.
You say it. Because you say a few minutes ago. That was like a half hour ago. This is going to be a long. I told you.
This is going to be a long night.
One. That's fine. I don't have to work tomorrow.
Neither do
I. Yay, big boy jobs.
Yay. So Splatoon 2. Everyone thought this was going to be a remake of Splatoon. And
but no, it brand new Splatoon.
And some of those weapons, like when the storm cloud came out and was raining paint all over the place, cool. I was like, shit, that seems pretty dangerous.
That was pretty cool. Still not enough to get me interested in it, though, because I was so soured on it from the control setup of the Wii U.
Yeah. And I get that. But like when they showed off like how they're going to do those things, like, and I was watching the playthrough of it today, like the pointing things out on the map. That was kind of like one of the big things of that game is that you can look at the map, tap where you want to go, and you would launch to that position.
Yeah.
It was a big part of the strategy. And now that when they showed how that was going to work, how it just kind of overlays over the screen and you can like warp to any of the characters and then move a cursor analog past that to just kind of get to any place. Like, okay, that works. That is a smart way to cover the fact that you don't have a second screen in your hand.
Yeah.
The controls appear to be they obviously have motion controls as an option, like the similar way that they did in Splatoon, the original one. But also, I'm assuming that you can get them off to at least a very minimal level. The prospect of voice chat, which was probably the biggest downfall of that one. Like, I would have loved to play Splatoon with my friends online, but I'm not going through this. Like, I'm not calling them on the phone to do it or whatever. Like, yeah. I want an integrated voice chat and whatnot.
You made a team-based shooter without voice chat.
Without the ability to communicate with your team.
That's a really weird decision.
It is. Now,
that's really strange. It's right there in the name.
The local multiplayer was also a... See, like, I know you said that, like, you can't see yourself getting together with friends. Like, that's something that I like to do. I want to have friends over to play video games. And if I have four friends that all have Switches and they all come over and we can play Splatoon together, each with our own screens in the same room online, that sounds fucking sweet.
It does.
This is one of those
fun.
Things that I'm getting retroactively excited for. And I should have been excited for it when they announced it on the show. And I just fucking wasn't. I was so sour at this point.
Ugh. Well, that's one of the other problems with it is that, you know, I look at... Like, my group of gamer friends is a little bit different from your group of gamer friends in that I am the one person in my group of gamer friends that has a Wii U. None of my friends are getting a Switch.
That is, you know, well, yeah, that would definitely put a damper on that.
Other than you, none of my friends are getting a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also not getting one. And we'll talk about, like... I'm saving, because we haven't talked about it yet, the other reason that I am so disappointed in this right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll save that till we get to a little bit later in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, my buddies from college are not getting a Switch. Like, not all of them were big gamers to begin with. But, like, mm-hmm. you know, even Nick, who is a huge gamer, and Mike, you know, who is a huge gamer... They don't play the games that I play, you know, like we're not shooter people. Like, we don't jump onto online shooters and shit anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just not a thing we do. And like, ultimately what has become my issue with Nintendo, and I think a lot of it was very, very present in this, this presentation, was like, you guys, like, fuck, could you be any more corny? Like, to throw it back to like a 90s insult, man, like, fuck, you guys are corny. Holy shit. Like, I'm an adult. Splatoon's not my, it's just not for me anymore. You know what I mean? It's not for me, and it's not for my group of friends, and it's super fun. Like, I'm sure it's super fun. But it's just not for us anymore.
Yeah, I get it. I couldn't be further away from it. I look at the world of Splatoon and I'm like, they did a good job here. They made a new game world that is very Nintendo, and I want this game. I really do, because I wanted, right. I wanted
to love the first one.
I did. I really wanted to love it. And there was,
and I don't,
the single player campaign in that one had so much promise.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, if they follow through and make a really crazy single player campaign out of Splatoon 2, it could really be something special. Obviously, the focus of the game is the online multiplayer, but that is really not for me. It never has been. It never will be. It'll be a fun distraction from time to time, but I'm never going to have the time. It's not my thing. But that single-player campaign had a lot to offer and with some really, really good ideas. So I'm really looking forward to hear more about that. So Splatoon 2, not a total loss, but I should have been, much like ARMS, I should have been very excited for it. But 1-2 Switch was really, really, really put me in a bad mood.
It also should be spelled S-P-L-T-2-N. I feel like that was a mistake.
It should in America. From what I've come to understand, that wouldn't really work in Japan.
But that seems like such an American thing to do.
It does. It seems like such an American thing to do.
Splatoon. Get it?
So here's where my feelings start going awry. Is this next game is they showed Super Mario Odyssey. And I was blown the fuck away.
Yeah.
They haven't made a game like this since Super Mario Sunshine, and
I don't know what the fuck to think of this game.
I could not believe my eyes. I love the moves. I love the weird dimension hopping. Like, the one is like looks like New York with a bunch of Donkey Kong references everywhere. Then the next one is the weird Dia de los Muertos stuff they had going on with like the sugar skulls and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, what the shit? And then he's running around with like the radish over his head and that giant colorful food world. And then there's the forest. And you know what? It wasn't the fucking Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're putting Mario in all these different locations. And then he took off his hat and he threw it and he jumped on it like a platform. And I was like, holy fuck. And shit, this looks insane. He's climbing up buildings. He's sliding down shit. He's rolling into a ball. The hat thing. And then just to cap it all off and make it just that much better, fucking Pimp Bowser.
Wedding.
Bowser dressed up like a goddamn pimp.
He was in a wedding suit with a top hat.
Yeah, except it was a pimp suit.
It was Pimp Bowser. You're correct.
It was so totally Pimp Bowser, and like there was an airship with a bunch of rabbits on it. Like, they had different characters. They had interesting camera angles. It was it's an open world sandbox style Mario game, which they haven't done in ages. And I loved the Galaxy games. I loved them to death.
Yeah.
But they were an interesting sequel to Sunshine, but they had that unique spherical level design, and it wasn't the same as playing a Mario game with regular rules of gravity to it. And I am amazed how good this looks. And I'm looking at this, and like I'll say later with Zelda, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I love Nintendo. Because they're capable of making some of the best traditional style games imaginable.
That's true.
And it's not bogged down with weird fucking motion controls. I don't have to shake shit. I can hold a regular controller and play this amazing looking Mario game with a Pimp Bowser in it with new locations. It doesn't look old. It looked fresh. It looked original. I was right there back on Cloud 9 with this presentation. And like the whole stupid eyeballs on the hat. I know Mario isn't your thing. I totally get it, but
yeah, just
you got to appreciate as somebody who is a fan of.
Oh, sure.
This looks so much better than Mario 3D World ever could.
Oh, it absolutely does. This looks interesting. It looks different.
It's Mario. Mario hasn't not run around the fucking Mushroom Kingdom in eons.
Yeah. It looks like it blended elements of Sonic with the rolling around, and I don't know. Like, not being a Mario person, this is not enough to get me excited about it. But I looked at that and went, this should have been the first thing that you let off with.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see
that. This is a new Mario
that.
Title.
Yeah.
Like, this is a new Mario title with cool locations and interesting mechanics, and the taking off the hat and the hat spinning in the air to create a platform, that opens up interesting gameplay design. And
it's clever. It's clever as shit. And you're right. They should have started with this. Because then shit like 1-2 switch doesn't mean as much because you already knew this was there.
Right. But what took me out of it, honestly, was the eyes popping up on the hat. You know, again, I looked at that and I went just, oh, God. All right.
I looked at that. I was like, ah, collector's edition. Got it.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're going to sell that fucking hat. You know what? I loved Ezlo in fucking Minish Cap. So I'm game. I'm right here. Make the hat sentient. I'm in. I'm totally in. And the name, Super Mario Odyssey, and the logo, everything about this, I just knocked my socks off. It's like, all right, I'm back in this shit. And they followed it up with fucking Xenoblade 2. Who Which saw that coming?
People are really excited about. Because
I'm excited about it, and I've only played about 5 minutes of the first game. Monolith Soft don't make bad games, and this I was kind of concerned because I really liked the world that they built with the original Xenoblade. It was a really impressive world, and they didn't recreate that, to my knowledge, in Xenoblade Chronicles X, because in the first one, the whole game takes place on these two dead creatures. The whole world is on these corpses, and it was such a unique and interesting world. And then, you know, Xenoblade X, it's super cool. I've played like 14 seconds of it. Sure, it's neat. I'm probably never going to get around to playing it. But then when they announced that this was just a full-on sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles, like that little shot at the end where the guy's standing there with the sword, I'm like, that kind of looks like a fancied-up version of the Monado. And these giant creatures floating around, fuck, it's Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I can't believe this is happening. And it's happening relatively quick, and it looks damn good. It's not for me, but I am thrilled that it is there. That was a great piece to follow this up with.
Yeah.
And then
that
we start...
also would have been a good, like, just surprise, bang, here it is. This is what we start our presentation with.
That would have been an interesting way to start the presentation. I get why they wouldn't, because I think even Nintendo knows that this is a niche game. This is a secondary kind of thing for them. It's not Final Fantasy, because it just doesn't carry that clout, doesn't carry that name. I think this was positioned really well in the show. I think as a really good thing to follow up with Super Mario Odyssey to keep that momentum going, that's great. Now, the next thing is where it started to fall apart for me again. And we're just going to go ahead and pause it there. So we're at about the halfway point, maybe a little bit past. So grab yourself a sandwich and get yourself a drink and strap yourself in for part 2 at your earliest convenience. We'll see you in a bit.